Okay, greetings and welcome to this channeling session on June the 3rd, 1997 at 2120 hours. Well, 2125 hours. Let us start and get down to business as quickly and as promptly as feline possible. Okay. Let us deal with the matters at hand. First of all, why is the stock market doing so well? Well, let's look at what is going on with the market at the moment. Okay, growth is up. Not as well as people would like, although it is being trumpeted as a success that the gross national product is up 1.3%. Is this a booming economy? No, it's not. Normally in a booming economy, it will be anywhere between 4.5% to 6.2%. So, why do people believe that it is a booming economy? Well, that is besides the point, apart from their believing that things are looking better. True, they are looking better, but they're not as good as they could be. Okay, next item is why is it that when the government is not involved or is tied up with certain matters, does the stock market do so well? It's because the government is too busy trying to deal with its own problems and therefore does not have the opportunity to try and force policies and procedures upon a stock market that is very bullish, if that is the correct term. Okay, now what is going on in the government? Well, basically, the elected governmental officials that are supposedly in charge are basically tied up dealing with matters that should have been dealt with long ago. When these matters first came to a point, shortly after the initial election of the elected individual leader, the stock market went very, very slowly and did not progress very well, as was not expected. The reason being that the interference of political representatives in an elected governmental capacity as the leader interfered and slowed things down. But now the fact that they have been tied up, for want of a better word, they no longer have control over what is going on in the market. And so therefore the market is free to do as it wishes. Okay, now let's look at some moral issues here. Okay, first of all, what is going on with the military? Why is it right for one person to have an adulterous affair with a subordinate and only receive a general discharge? Whereas the normal procedure is a full court martial, time in what I believe you would call the stockade, and a dishonorable discharge. What makes it right for one person to get away with something whilst other people convicted of the same crime end up in a lot more hot water? Is it because that individual was a poster child for the military to be the first female B-52 bomber pilot carrying nuclear weapons capable? Is it right? My opinion is no. Is it right for a commanding officer of the Aberdeen Proving Grounds, the general in charge, to resign because he once had an affair with a civilian, although he was actually separated and going through divorce proceedings with his wife of the time? What is the difference between those two, Russ?
Well, for one thing, Both of them got it pretty easy, yeah, me.
Well, actually, the general
Mean,
that
the
we
guy was
see.
just allowed to resign, and so was she. Same thing.
Yes, but he did nothing wrong.
He had an affair.
No, he didn't.
Well, then
I
why?
said that he was having an affair,
Yeah.
but in actual fact, he wasn't. He was separated and going through divorce proceedings.
It wasn't a relationship, though.
No, but at that point, separation had occurred.
Yes, but he's still disgraced in his uniform.
No, he's not.
According to the military, he is.
Because the wedding, the marriage was basically, or in actual fact, over. There was proceedings going on for divorce.
In a civilian court, when
That's your big mistake right there. It is not a civilian matter, it is a military matter.
I know,
So
but
do not apply military law to civilian situations or civilian law to military situations.
well, that fills in with a point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
In a civilian court of law, where there is a male and female under the term they're divorcing, either one of the two parties who are caught in an illicit affair during that time before the divorce actually takes place is put as the perpetrator of a major fact that could cost them custody of their children, more of the estate divided to the other person who wasn't in the affair. In fact, they have detectives who, during a divorce proceeding, will follow around the person if the other person thinks that they're having an affair. If they are, then they'll get pictures and stuff and present that as evidence in court.
Okay, that has nothing to do with a military matter whatsoever. The situation with Kelly Flynn, the young lady, was far more than an adulterous affair. The adultery is minor and moot. She was told by her commanding officers to stop the affair. She disobeyed an order. When she was asked, was the affair over? She said yes. She lied to a commanding officer. When the situation came to a point, she lied again. The general was very open and honest about the whole entire situation. In fact, it was used to finally finalize the divorce proceedings, which benefited both parties. So therefore, he did not disgrace his uniform, whereas the young lady did not only disgrace her uniform, she destroyed a marriage, she disgraced a family, she disgraced herself, she disgraced a branch of the military. So therefore, there is a big difference between the two.
True.
But continuing on this line, what happened in this? Well, it seems that people want to apply civil moral behavior to an area that is not anything to do with a civil society. It is a military area, and they want to force their morals onto a society that has had its own set of morals that work far, far better than normal civil life. Far better. Their standards of ethics, procedures, and morals are way beyond that of the person in the street. By forcing a group of individuals that live by a higher code of ethics to behave with a lower level, it's like giving children free range to do whatever they wish. So it is wrong for elected governmental officials to interfere. And I'm not just saying the president or Democrats, I'm saying all parties. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, the WACs, president, vice president, speaker of the House. They should have nothing to do and leave alone the military. It is not a test ground for moral behaviors of a society that is less than moral. Okay, my spiel is over. Do you have any questions before I hand over to Amol? Okay. Greetings and felicitations, Russ. She does work hard on her dissertation, does she not?
Yes, she does.
She does put a lot of passion into it.
Very informative.
Yes, she does work hard. Okay, let us look at Thea's first analysis of the stock market. She is correct in every detail, as always. Accuracy seems to be her middle name. I would like to expand upon her explanation of the interference of governmental agencies. When she talks of a government fresh and interfering in a behavioral pattern of the stock market, it works like a brake being applied. When this brake is applied, things slow down, growth slows down, confidence slows down. But when a government is hogtied with other matters, all those brakes have been removed. It is like a vehicle going downhill. When you have your foot on the brake, you control it. You control the speed. When you take your foot off the brake, it accelerates out of control and out of speed. This occurs when situations conspire against individuals. At the moment, it is the brightest part before the storm. Things are looking good. The next year to year and a half will tell what is going to transpire. Okay, let us look at Tia's last comments on moral behaviors. Tia, as we know, is a very moral individual. She holds her morals up high. She has learned to be respecting of other people's opinions, but to hold fast to her morals of the family, behavior in public, language. Tia may use derogatory phrases to swear, but having had to study a little bit of the language, her phrases that she uses, the descriptive one of frown, is polite in actual fact. From what I have learned, it means, may you enjoy the flavor of my afterfood as you munch on my underwear. That is a correct translation. Basically, eat my shorts. So Tia's behavior is obviously stated in her views on the morals. And her views are very correct. They are a six-dimensional and a third-dimensional blending of moral opinions. And by having these morals and trying to live by them is a good indicator on how people should behave. She has learned extremely well that the third-dimensional way has certain advantages, and the six-dimensional way has certain advantages. Being of a third-dimensional ancestry, she has to deal with those third-dimensional mindset and thinking. Living in a six-dimensional workspace environment, she has come to terms and been able to refine her moral outlook on life, which is a good moral outlook on life. She does not lie. She does not cheat. She does not bend the truth unless it is necessary to protect. She has learned that protecting friends, family, and associates is very important. Before, it was just family. How does that affect a third-dimensional society such as yours? Well, having a high moral standard seems to be able to focus somebody in a direct path that is beneficial for enlightenment. If, for example, taking the incident of Kelly Flynn, morals would have dictated that, first of all, the first thing that she did wrong was adultery. She destroyed a marriage. What benefit did she get from destroying a marriage? Well, she has been rewarded by people asking for her to do book contracts. Is it correct to idolize somebody that has committed adultery and destroyed a marriage? I will let you decide that. Secondly, lying. Not once, but many times. Is that correct? Again, I will let you decide. Disobeying an order in an environment where orders are important to be followed. Again, is this correct? Regardless of the order, it is important that the order be carried out as best as possible. Is that correct? I will again let you decide on that. The development of a society depends on its moral behavior. Thier is quite astute at perceiving moral behavior and how it affects a growth or a stunting in growth of a society. It is fine to be tolerant and understanding. But it is important also to stick to one's moral opinion, to stick to a moral pathway, and not to deviate from that. It is good to be open and to be able to look at everything, be able to come to a wise conclusion. But if you have certain principles that aid you in this, that give you the confidence necessary to be a successful, developed individual in a spiritual and physical capacity will lead you to a higher enlightenment than just being a person that goes, I understand your point of view, let me think on this. You may be right. Lying may be a good thing. Let me think about this. Cheating on one's husband or wife is a good thing. These things obviously are not good. And by falling into that trap, society is affected in a way that the level of behavior becomes lower. When that occurs, and people expect lower standards from other individuals, then again, that lowers itself again. When it becomes common to use foul language in everyday conversation, then an individual and a society, if it becomes very prevalent, is in problems, serious problems. This is one of the signs to look out for as things get worse. When it becomes acceptable to use foul language as part of a normal conversation, where it becomes acceptable to use F words and B words and C words when talking to somebody, and it is not even an eye-raising experience. Okay, let us answer your questions.
Okay, first off, on the issues on the stock market. Now, the point where the government interferes, I notice that our most current example of where the government interferes is where the federal exchange chairman, I believe his name is
Greenspan.
Greenspan. He set the interest rates at a higher rate than they had been before. At that point, though, is the point where we saw the stock market rise ever since then. And it's been on an upswing since. So at this point, I'm wondering, is that, you know, perhaps an accident, or did he actually do some good there?
He intended it to go up. The reason why he intended it to go up is that people look at the stock market and they see this action, the stock market climbing higher and higher. And they feel good about that. People are making money. People are doing well. It gives a false sense of confidence. As Tia pointed out, we have a growth rate of only 1.2%. There is something wrong, and that is looked upon as great. When in a normal booming society, let us take the economy of Kennedy, where it was 5.2% through most of his living administration. It was booming. What is the difference there?
Well, the Kennedy administration came on right at 1960. And at that point, people looked toward a new decade as opposed to the old decade of the 50s, known as the silent generation. Suddenly it was, and you could see it in much of the culture, a bright spot happening. And I feel that kind of caught on a nationwide level.
But why didn't it occur this time?
Well, you mean right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the 60s. The 60s were a time of dreaming and hopes.
But not to start off with. There were a lot of dark situations. The Bay 60s. Of Pigs. The Cuban Missile Crisis. The start of the Vietnam War.
Well, the
war. Far worse than what is happening now.
True, but you know, we're talking Kennedy. And the Vietnam War was post-Kennedy.
It started in 64.
Right. Kennedy was killed in 64.
Kennedy sent advisors in to North Vietnam, or South Vietnam, rather, in 63.
Mm-hmm.
The war started then. It did not escalate to the size until later, but it started then. It did not tear the country apart until later.
I think some of it actually might have to do with music.
That came later.
Well, that's true. But just if you look at the music of the 50s, even at the 59, and you look at the music 1 year later, there are some very marked changes there that I think had a bit to do with it.
No. No? They were the result of what was going on. People were feeling good. People were feeling great. Life was wonderful.
Well, wasn't this also the time the baby boomers were starting to come along?
The baby boomers
were? World War II?
Correct.
And they were reaching their point of maturing.
No, they were coming into the workplace.
Right.
But they were not reaching maturity. Maturity comes later in life for us.
Okay.
Now, the difference between then and now is the moral outlook. They still had very high moral standards. Somebody caught in an adulterous affair was shunned and ostracized. Now, how many people do you know that have had adulterous affairs?
Quite a few.
But back then, it was almost unheard of. It was either swept under the table and kept very quiet, or the person was ostracized and the court case was nasty and bloody. As you said, they would lose their children. They would lose a larger percentage of their property than they would have normally. Now, it's no big deal. In fact, as Tia pointed out, sometimes it is used as a tool.
Well, the 60s did bring along that change, though, with the Summer of Love, Free Love.
That's too far. We're talking about the Kennedy administration, not the Johnson administration. We are talking between the difference between the Kennedy administration and now. And it is all one thing. The morals. A frequent topic of conversation is the president's moral compass.
Kennedy had some very low morals, though, in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
His adulterous affairs, you can write major books of, and some have been written.
Yes, they're all written after his death.
After his death.
When they came to light. After he had been assassinated. The current ones are coming to light during the administration. And it is not just one or two or even three individuals. Kennedy is made to look like a wimp compared to this individual.
But don't we see the beginnings of this then?
Yes, you do. You do. The moral standards were already lowered after the administration of, what's his name? Ike. Eisenhower.
Right.
It would have been better if Nixon had been elected.
It would have kept the moral standards higher.
And therefore, the chance of what transpired would have been lessened.
But then again, we see a lot of good things that came about because of Kennedy, too.
Correct.
The space program.
Correct.
Much of welfare system.
That goes back forever, actually. Yes. It goes back to FDR.
It's something to do with something like that.
Yes,
some,
he did.
Some government.
Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Which is a great and wonderful thing. I am not condemning Kennedy or any president, including this current one. I am saying that it is a symptom of a society that has become too opulent.
Now, what have those changes in the moral systems have to do with the consciousness of the country?
Okay, where a moral behavioral pattern is set in place. For example, let us get back to adultery, where adultery becomes common. That sets up a karmic distraction that has to be worked out. When you are dealing with something of a situation such as that, how can you think clearly on spiritual matters?
Mm-hmm.
You see the problem.
Right.
Let us say you are concerned with the well-being of children. You are concerned with getting as much as possible for the children in the ensuing separation. So therefore, you cannot deal with the spiritual matters that you should be. You do not have time to sit down and deal with the spiritual growth that you would normally go through. When a situation occurs like that, you are more preoccupied. You cannot think clearly. That half an hour or an hour that you have set aside to sit down and meditate, you're going to be thinking of other matters. So therefore, by a degradation in moral structure leads to spiritual flatness, where it becomes flat. You are preoccupied with other matters, not of the development of yourself, your spouse, or your offspring.
Okay.
But there are exceptions to the rule.
Right.
Next question.
Not to set any standards or to point any fingers at or anything, but personally, looking at Hades base, it seems as though it's more of the 60s in their moral standards than there is more than the 50s.
Yes, but there is the moral standing of, from what I have gathered, all the sexual antics that go on, all people involved are aware of what is going on. For example, let us take a secretary that I have. She is in the early stages of pregnancy. Her bondmate is very, very excited about the upcoming child. Her boyfriend is also ecstatic. It is her boyfriend's first child. The fact that all three individuals knew what was going on makes the situation much easier. The fact that the partner or the bondmate was very consensual and said, enjoy, and I hope this works, is something that is understood. So all three people agreed on what was happening. The reason they agree is the young gentleman, the father, has some good genes. The mother has some great genes. The bondmate, being in the medical department, was aware of the potential for the offspring in development. The agreement is that all three people involved will be the parents, although the bondmate will be the primary male parent. The other individual, the father of the offspring, will be in a behavioral pattern of an uncle, even though the child is his. So therefore, by being of an intelligence level, they understand that their actions and behavior has to be in such a way that all benefit. You see what I'm saying?
Of course, because I'm in the same situation, of course.
Correct.
Okay. I think you said it best in your dissertation when you mentioned the openness. And if the relationship does not affect, the physical and spiritual well-being of the people involved, which I believe we are seeing on Hades bases, these sexual antics, as you call them, do not affect the physical or spiritual well-being of the individuals.
In fact, in this situation, it enhances.
Oh, correct, correct. And I'm sure, you know, just from my viewing of all this, that it's true in all these things that go on.
Right.
But I'm just saying, from an outsider's point of view, looking in on this, would see a 60s bacchanalia. And, you know, somebody with a more Puritan attitude would turn their nose up and quite literally frown hardly at this.
That is correct. They would. But to understand a society and to see the problems, you have to have all the information and facts. An individual that looks at something, turns up their nose, says how horrible and degraded it is, without experiencing or receiving information on that society, is making a big mistake. We have the information necessary to come to a formulated answer on the situation, on the morals in your planet. An individual looking from the outside in on our little group would have very little information from that.
Right.
And bacchanalia is a word I have not heard in a long time. Well, not that long. Sometimes it seems like a few moments, or sometimes it seems like maybe a few weeks.
Well, that's why I'm looking forward to possibly enlightening people over, you know, the fact that there is a alternative towards the moral degradation as being a more uplifting experience.
It is a spiritual level of awareness that you have to achieve first. With that should come the morals to be intelligent enough to understand the actions.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So you need to look at it from that viewpoint as opposed to one more closed-minded.
Correct. You first of all have to become spiritually aware enough to understand that sometimes things happen not for the better of an individual, but for the better of the group. Okay, last question.
Okay. My lady has, I'm sure, informed you of a future series of discussions that I'd like to get into with you.
She has only mentioned that you wish to discuss certain topics.
Right, which is the history of Ashtar Command.
Correct.
And I would like to possibly see if we can't set up a series of timelines, let's say, or periods of Ashtar Command that led up to its present state.
I'm sorry to say, but this request has to be denied.
Okay.
For security reasons.
Right.
Certain things that happened in the early part and middle part of Ashtar Command are still being observed and learned from. So therefore, it would be a gross breach of security to even mention or discuss them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right. It would have made an interesting topic anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be back. Greetings, Russ.
Greetings, Cortan.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
The purpose of communication is to be able to communicate crisply and clearly. I have stated this in the past and I will state it again in the future. It is necessary as a communicator to be as crisp and clear as possible. I received a copy of a communication recently that was long-winded, drawn out, and very dancing around the issues. I received a copy this morning of a communication of the same subject that had been edited and tightened and tidied. Communication in a state of consciousness of high anxiety seems to be one of the more difficult subjects to cover on a humanoid life form basis. It is at that point where individuals use their emotions and their minds overflow with anxieties and actions. It is difficult, I understand, for a third dimensional being to not function without those emotions, even if they are fear and anxiety. It is necessary when writing these items to be clear as possible. The work on tidying them up can be very tedious and hard on the individual that has to do the editing. Editing is a necessary function. An individual should be capable of self-editing. But when it becomes involved with emotions, then it clouds the judgment for an individual that hides their emotions when they come to the surface. It makes their thinking process even harder and more difficult than a tough situation being dealt with in a cold, dispassionate way. Communication, at this point, starts to break down. What is meant by dancing around the issues and trying to hide the emotions and control the emotions, even though they are running rampant, no longer serves a function. Materials that come from that situation, therefore, suffer in their quality. The individual that has to edit and change and correct suffers because of an individual being ruled by their emotions when they are doing communications. I think you know what I'm referring to. When these things occur, It is honourable that somebody wishes to express their anxieties and help other people, but it is important that they remember the person that has to do the hard work of reading through this material, editing it, correcting the spelling. It becomes hard at that point. The individual might as well not have written the material, but I understand that it was necessary not only for a therapeutic purpose, but also for passing on information and helping to increase the spiritual awareness of individuals that are not personally known to the individuals that deal with this matter. The communication of this material